Welcome to the Walk On Red Shirts Draft Spectacular episode, a special episode here in the middle of the week, leading into the NFL Draft, talking all NFL Draft slash college football players. That's the tie-in here with our podcast. I am joined by my co-host who knows absolutely nothing about the NFL Draft other than who his Eagles are going to take, and he'll know that the day after, probably, if I had to guess. And that is intern Gibble. Intern, how excited are you to be on this special episode of Walk On Red Shirts?
I am thrilled to know very little. I'm really just here to learn, to be honest.
We are teaching intern Gibble as well as giving you guys some stuff today. I originally put out a tweet asking if you guys wanted trades. You voted yes. Unfortunately, as I got into the process of crafting my final mock draft, it was a little bit hard to pinpoint trades and try to figure out where I kind of wanted to place things and getting good value and stuff like that. So I opted to go against that, but I am going to give you guys two rounds instead of one. That way we can get all the teams in, notably teams that don't have a first round pick like the Bears, Rams, Texans, Steelers, and so on, Colts as well. So we'll do two rounds there. First round picks, I'll give a bit of analysis behind them. Second round picks, I'm going to fly through. I might touch on a few of them here and there. Make sure you let me know how much you hate the picks I made for your team, because I love that about Twitter. So reach out. Let me know how much you dislike who I sent to your squad in this. Again, I don't make these picks for the real teams. I'm picking these not necessarily based entirely on what I think teams are going to do. It's kind of a mixture of that and what I would do if I was running that squad. So we'll have those two rounds. Afterwards, I am going to also give you guys my favorite day three prospects for each position group. We'll kind of run through that real fast. Guys to keep an eye on in that day three, that Saturday when you're kind of in the lull, you're in the middle of the quarantine, you don't have anything to do, and you're kind of watching these picks fly off the board. So some guys you might want to look at for your team. And then I'll answer a couple of listener questions we got here towards the end of the episode. A couple good questions sent in here. We'll tie that in. And then after that, we are on to the NFL draft. This is coming out Wednesday morning and Thursday night. We'll be in the first round and we'll get right into it. But before we get into all that, I want to shout out our presenting sponsor here, Smack Apparel. We are doing another shirt giveaway here. The rules are pretty simple. You have to guess which teams will draft Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and CeeDee Lamb. The picks will lock as soon as the Bengals are on the clock Thursday. So as soon as that draft starts, as soon as Goodell stands up in his basement and says the Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock, the picks will lock. You can submit your picks by tweeting them at us at Walk On Red Shirts on Twitter, or you can DM us on Twitter or Instagram as well. Or if you're within our Slack, you can send them to us there. Jake, our other co-host, is keeping track of that. So send your picks in. You can win a free shirt out of it. You know, nothing to it. There's nothing you have to pay to enter. Good little throw in there. Also, make sure to check out Smack Apparel's latest apparel and use promo code WALKON for 20% off your next order. Go on there. If you're an NFL fan, if you're a Tom Brady fan, Buccaneers fan, I know they have some new Tom Brady Buccaneers merch, as well as some Championship Chiefs gear, several other things on there. So make sure to give that a check then. Now we'll kind of jump into it with the mock draft. Intern Gibble here has some fun facts for each prospect. Now here's the thing. We don't know if these fun facts are true because Intern Gibble is going to make them up on the spot as the picks go through. Some may actually be real. He is also going to not make harmful accusations about these prospects, hopefully. But he is our intern and he is dumb, so we do not know what he's going to say. This could be detrimental to our podcast, but let's get right into it. Gibble, how's that
sounds great. I'm not here to ruin anybody's careers, so we're going to keep them in PG, maybe PG-13 if we're feeling a little risky.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Starting up, we'll just get the first two out of the way. Cincinnati Bengals, I have Joe Burrow, obviously. Chase Young to the Redskins, a pick two. These two feel pretty locked in. If Tua's hip was completely healthy and he didn't have that issue, you can maybe make a case that he would go to the Redskins. You could even make a case that he'd be going to the Bengals here as he was the favorite for a while. But I think the Redskins are content with Haskins. Had they gotten an offensive head coach instead of a defensive one in Ron Rivera, I'd say maybe they'd go to and get their guy, a la what Kingsbury did last year with the Cardinals. But being as he's a defensive minded head coach, I think he's going to look to Chase Young. If Haskin falters next year, the quarterback decision is up in the air for a lot of these teams. We don't know who's going to be the favorite to land Lawrence or Fields next season. They could be in play for one of those two guys next year too, if the offense falters a bit with Haskins and Kyle Allen. So that's one to keep an eye on. But I think Chase Young's a slam dunk pick here for him. You get a generational edge rusher and pair him with a couple of standouts on the D-line already you have down there in Washington. So good picks for both of those guys. Also both homegrown talents there, with Joe Burrow being not too far from Cincinnati growing up and Chase Young being a close resident to Washington. So two good ones there. Detroit, I didn't do trades in this, but had I still wouldn't have traded this slot out. I don't think the Dolphins or Chargers are trading up to number three, to be honest with you. I think the Lions are trying to garner interest here for that. But I don't necessarily think it's happening. I don't think a team, this is another situation where if Tua's hip was healthy, or at least not injured last season and that health issue wasn't there, maybe a team would trade up to three to make sure they can get him. I just don't see it. So I have the Lions taking Jeffrey Okuda, which seems like the consensus pick around the league. They traded Darius Slay to Philadelphia, and that creates an immediate need now for a lockdown corner. Intern Gibble, do you have any fun facts for these three guys I just read
through? Well, Joe Burrow might be the coolest cat in the whole damn town. He's got ice in his veins, great quarterback. Obviously, I think we all knew that. Knows how to celebrate like a seasoned professional. You saw that after he won the national championship. Chase Young, the Predator, obviously. You get great value out of him, whoever he ends up with. And Jeff Okuda will call you out on your BS if you try and tell him that he's a sloppy defender. There you go.
All right, let's move on now. Pick four, the New York Giants here. I haven't taken Isaiah Simmons, linebacker from Clemson, my favorite prospect in this whole draft. They also have needs at offensive tackle, but they also have needs pretty much across the entire defense, which is something that Isaiah Simmons could fill into a little bit better. You could kind of go both directions. As you'll see in round two, though, I think there's more early second round value in an offensive tackle than there is a linebacker. So I chose Isaiah Simmons here. I think he helps fill big needs at both the linebacker and safety position, kind of rotate around there. As I've said before, I mean, you can play him around the field. I wouldn't play him too much, you know, on the outside of corner or something like that, but he has that ability if need be. And I think he's a guy that helps everybody around him that he's playing with on the defense. Something the Giants need, because regardless of how you feel about Daniel Jones, I don't know if he's going to be able to make 40 point games every week. And the Giants defense needs a lot of help. They do need offensive line help as well. But again, we'll touch on that early in the second round, where I think you can find more value than you would at a linebacker spot, where there is a big gap after the top three. Number five, I have the Dolphins. I have my Dolphins. They're going to break my damn heart. I don't care. I'm still giving them Tua here because I think he's healthy. It seems like everybody that comes out and talks about it says he's healthy. Independent physicians that he's talked to have said that he's healthy. They believe he's going to have a good career. There's been too much talk about Miami taking Herbert that I, I don't believe that. It's been constant for several weeks now, and you don't usually see that. I know a lot of people like to buy into that every year. That feels off to me. It feels a little bit off to me that they're that much into Herbert. And that even points me in a direction that they might actually like love more than Herbert. I don't know. But to be honest with you, this pick for the Dolphins is a total toss up because they have smokescreened this in many different directions the entire offseason. So who knows where they go, but I still think they're going to take Tua here at 5 and make the fan base happy, hopefully. And number 6 here, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. I have taken Justin Herbert. I don't think they mind who they get, Tua or Justin, which has been said a lot about the Dolphins as well. I think offensive tackle is an alternate need here they could go if they really like Tyrod Taylor as much as they claim they do. Isaiah Simmons, if he falls, he would be an option here. If they put Simmons on this defense with the Derwin Jameses of the world, and all those different pieces they have, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram on that defense would be incredible, and it would be great to watch that defense go up against the Chiefs. So he would be an option here as well. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is a long-term answer. We've seen him enough in the NFL to know that's probably not the case. And the decision not to pursue Cam Newton kind of signals to me that LA is going to look for a quarterback in the draft, or whether it's the first round or if they trade back up to get Jordan Love later on. Now, I do think Herbert's athleticism matches a bit what Coach Anthony Lynn prefers in a quarterback. A big thing he likes about Tyrod Taylor is that athleticism to run a bit. Justin Herbert has that more than Tua. Who knows? I mean, I don't think they care which one of the two they get, really. I think they're going to take whoever Miami doesn't take, should they go that way. But it'll be an interesting one because this is where the draft will kind of get interesting. Because there's a couple of different directions that you go. Intern Gibble, fun facts for these guys.
Well, Isaiah Simmons, known rude guy. He intercepted Justin Fields. I don't like him. Tua, I'm just going to analyze Tua and Justin here. I feel like both of them fit for the teams you have them here for. I feel like Tua fits for Miami, and Herbert kind of fits right where Phillip Rivers left off. Except Justin Herbert can throw the ball overhand instead of sidearm like Rivers tends to do. It's that weird T-Rex looking throwing motion. But yeah, I mean, Tua, I feel like his spirit animal should be a dolphin, and that's why he should end up at the Dolphins.
Okay. I mean, I say this knowing that for a year now, Tua's had an entire fan base behind him. So he's already got that built in with Miami. The kid from Hawaii gets to go back to the tropics and be in Miami. I know that he would work in LA too. It's a lot closer to Hawaii, obviously. But Herbert, also a West Coast kid, grew up 10 minutes outside of Eugene or outside of the Oregon Duck Stadium. From the West Coast, being on the West Coast there, I think that fits too. I in terms of that stuff, maybe that's just me talking out my ass, but that's kind of how I feel about it too. Also, I don't think I said this before, but there's not a player comp for Isaiah Simmons. So I've comped him to an Australian huntsman spider because he's so long, lengthy, and jumpy that, like, I don't, and like, he's scary as shit. I mean, that's just what it is. So, I mean, that's the only comp I could really find for the guy because there's not a player in the NFL like him. All right, pick 7, I have the Carolina Panthers. I think they're a trade-down possibility as they kind of start to rebuild that team with Matt Rhule. Locked under contract for, I think, like 7 years, I think it is. So there's plenty of time. Panthers are not in a rush to start winning right away. They're here to build. So that's a team I could definitely see trading down. This is another spot that I think Isaiah Simmons could land in if he falls. Offensive tackle could be another possibility, but I do think when they traded for Russell Okung, I think they feel a little bit more okay with that position. They could potentially go after a Jedrick Wills here, a right tackle, but I have him taking Derek Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn. I have him as a top five player in this draft. He is a home wrecker on the interior from that Auburn defense. One of my favorite players in this draft as well. And I think it helps build that defense up a bit. You get that stout anchor in the middle. And I think that's a great first addition there for Matt Rule. Should they stay at seven, I do think they could trade down to like somewhere else a little bit farther down and still end up with Derek Brown or even Javon Kinlaw to anchor that defense. So I think they're a prime position for that. Number eight, I have the Arizona Cardinals. I have them taking Jedrick Wills here, right tackle. They re-signed DJ Humphreys, their starting left tackle this offseason, anchored one side. Let's go get the right tackle now. Best right tackle in the draft. I think he's also the best tackle in the draft in general. But you want to help protect Kyler Murray so that he doesn't need to run a lot. You want to kind of keep that, keep him healthy. Smaller individual, granted, smaller target area to tackle him. But you want to keep him upright. And I think Jedrick Wills is athletic enough that he fits in an Arizona offense that kind of wants to speed things up and go at a nice pace. He's not as much of a grinder, I think, as Tristan Wirfs, if you're looking for a tackle here, but I think you could go either way. And it's been recently talked about a lot that Derek Brown, if available, they're very high on Derek Brown. So this is another spot that he could go to should the Panthers trade down or Derek Brown being available here. Number nine here, the Jaguars, another team, who knows what they're going to do. I think they're selling out essentially for a quarterback next year. I do believe they want to give Gardner Minshew a year. And if he doesn't look good, you know, you get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next season. They're in the driver's seat, it seems like. I don't know any other team that's in that position right now. But they dealt away Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye this past season. In dire need of a defensive back. I have him taking CJ Henderson, the cornerback from Florida here. He brings great ball skills, but he does have some known tackling issues. I don't think that's going to be too much of a cause for concern here, but they have to fix up that defense going into the season. And also, this could be a spot that they take Clavon Chase on from LSU should they trade Yannick Ngakoue. But I haven't taken corner here because they really need the defensive back help. Intern Gibble, what's your thoughts on these?
Well, first of all, you just said a lot of names that I could not pronounce if I even tried to. yeah.
Shocking. Shocking.
Second, Derek Brown was almost cast to be Wreck-It Ralph in the films, but then they realized it was an animated film and just needed a voice, so they did not cast him for that role. That's what we got.
And of course, is Wreck-It Ralph Disney? Did I get that right?
Yes.
No, that's not. Is it? I can't remember. That makes sense that we're getting a Disney reference.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Number 10, Cleveland. There we go. Number 10, we got the Cleveland Browns here. There has been a lot of chatter. Another team that may trade down here. They signed Jack Conklin to get the right tackle side of the line fixed up. I haven't taken Mekhi Becton here at 10. I think what they're going to want to do a lot is take the ball a bit more out of Baker Mayfield's hands next year, and they're going to want to just utilize the run game heavily with Kevin Stefanski's offense coming over from Minnesota there to be the head coach. They have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield, a very good 1-2 combo. And I think Mekhi Becton stepping in, he is a bulldozer on the left side. He's going to have to get a little bit better, I think, in pass protection. But I think in terms of just stepping in and being in the run game, which I think is what they're going to want to do, it'll allow him time to focus and get better at the passing side of things. But right away, he's a bulldozer on that side. Pairing with Jack Conklin, who's coming over from Tennessee, and what they did over there with the Titans offense last year, I think is going to be similar to what Cleveland wants to do here. And I think Mekhi Becton, Jack Conklin, I think that pairs perfectly. And it also helps Baker Mayfield stay in the pocket when he needs to pass and isn't always running for his life. Continues to make the whole offense better here by shoring up that left side. Again, there's talk that they could be trading down if their tackle's not available. Who knows what the Browns are going to do. But I think Mekhi Becton, should they stay at 10 and he's available, I think he's the right choice. Number 11, I have the New York Jets going Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle from Iowa. If no offensive lineman available here, you can look at Chaisson as an edge rusher or even a wide receiver. They have a dire need for some wide receiver help here as well. But they signed several offensive linemen this offseason. I don't think any of them are that great. There's nothing reassuring that they added. Wirfs has high upset on the right side. And even if he's not necessarily working out there, I think he has really good versatility to move inside to the guard position if you need to. So Tristan Wirfs, I think, is a good pickup here for the Jets at number 11, probably where they go based on Joe Douglas's history. But again, if tackles are off the board, should teams like the Buccaneers, Dolphins, Broncos, whoever trade up into the top 10, take offensive tackles. They could go, again, Chaisson or one of the three top wide receivers. And number 12 here, I have the Las Vegas Raiders. I haven't taken Henry Ruggs, wide receiver from Alabama. Figuring out the order that the big three receivers come off the board isn't going to be easy, nor is necessarily picking the teams that are going to take them. As you guys, again, reminder, we are giving away a free t-shirt. Submit those to our Twitter account, and Jake will handle all that. But the Raiders have a long history of prioritizing speed. They play in the same conference, same division, as Tyreek Hill. And I think they're going to look and try to match that a bit. Henry Ruggs, they need more weapons for Derek Carr. Whether they believe in him or, John Gruden loves Marcus Mariota as well, and they brought him in. I don't think they go quarterback here because of that. But I do think they need to get weapons. I wouldn't be shocked, depending on who's available at their next pick, if they went two wide receivers in the first round, because they really need help there. They shored up a few other spots. They have some other needs. But I'm having them take Henry Ruggs here just based on the speed. But don't worry, Raiders fans, he's much better than Darius Hayward Bay was coming out of college. So you don't feel bad about that. Intern Gibble, sending it to you.
Well, first of all, I learned how to say Mekhi Becton's name, so that's a fun fact. All right, let's see. I think Tristan Wirfs, known chef, his famous dish is Wirf and Turf, where instead of having a surf option of seafood, it's just all meats. Yeah, people love it.
I like how you gave that to Tristan Wirfs, but it was mentioned this week from an anonymous source, that one scout said that they don't like Mekhi Becton because he likes to cook and eat food a lot. which, I mean, the guy's a mammoth of a man, but he has lost a decent amount of weight from when he first got to Louisville. Yeah. But I don't see how that is an issue necessarily. As long as the kid wants to play football and is active in that, if anything, I think that's better. I mean, it's good to have somebody on the team that can cook healthy. I don't know what he's cooking. I like Becton, so I'm going to say he's cooking healthy meals. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
No, just look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Look at his food. Like, he's eating that massive, massive piece of French toast, but he's still jacked. So as long as Becton is working out, he's going to work it all off.
I don't want to speculate too much on this, but I've heard from anonymous sources, aka people that have watched his videos, he doesn't actually eat all that food. I don't know if that's true or not.
I refuse to believe.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I don't have any evidence to back that up, so I don't want to spout anything on the great Miami Hurricane, Dwayne Johnson. All right, pick number 13, I have the San Francisco 49ers going Jerry Jeudy. San Fran went pretty hard after Odell Beckham Jr. When the Giants were trading him last year. Giants didn't want to trade him within the conference, so they traded him to Cleveland. Jeudy gets compared a lot to Beckham's skill set. Being a decent speed, he's not going to completely burn you, but he does have really good speed and great route running. And he brings the ideal combo and speed and route running Kyle Shanahan's offense, taking it to another level to match him with Deebo Samuels on the outside. So I think Jerry Jeudy's going to go to the Niners. Pick 14, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, as of an hour before this podcast, just traded for Rob Gronkowski. And they now have three pretty decent tight ends on that squad. What a ridiculous time that is. They don't have a ton of needs across the board. Their biggest need is filled at the quarterback position. But they did invest pretty heavily in an aging Tom Brady, which means I do think they should prioritize the tackle position, or at least the offensive line in general. Andrew Thomas, I don't know where these tackles are going to go. This is another one that's just like the wide receivers. Who knows what's going to happen or where they're going to go or what order they're going to fall. But I do think Thomas is the easiest plug-and-play tackle in the draft. I don't know that his ceiling is as high as the other guys, but I think his floor is much higher than Becton in terms of the left tackles. And I think that plug-and-play ability to just get him, put him in as a starter, where there's not a ton of development, works a lot better with Tampa Bay than it does other teams. But also, you know, another thing where right away you can get some help on the tackle position. You have that immediate help for Tom Brady. You don't have to wait much longer. Pick 15, I have the Denver Broncos taking CeeDee Lamb, the number three of the three big ones off the board here. I think Denver made some good moves to beef up the defense this offseason. Adding another weapon to go with Courtland Sutton and Noah Fant in the passing game will help Drew Lock a lot. They added Melvin Gordon to go with Phillip Lindsay in the run game, which I think they're going to aim towards running a bit more here, much like I mentioned about the Cleveland Browns. If a big four offensive tackle drops here, that is another possibility. They went and traded for A.J. Bouye, so I don't necessarily think they'll go corner here. I do think should one of these big three wide receivers or even Justin Jefferson fall here to 15, I think you're looking at the Broncos taking a wide receiver and going to get that, get Drew Lock some help here as they aim to make him their star quarterback here going through into the future. Andrew Gibble, what you got?
All right. Well, Jerry Jeudy already has his post-playing career lined up. He will take over as Judge Jeudy on the show. Also related to Doug Jeudy of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but he renounced that side of his family because they are known criminals. Even though Doug Judy's pretty well reformed. Yeah, he's got a bright future ahead of him. And CeeDee Lamb, I'm just going to compliment that kid because he is going to be an absolute terror to every opponent in the NFL. That kid plays with, he just looks like he's pissed with every play that he makes. So I'm really excited to watch him in the NFL. And I kind of really wish that the Eagles would get him. I know that's been something that's been talked about as the Eagles trading up to get him. I'd love it, but I don't want them to kind of give away the farm for him.
That's fair. I mentioned this a couple of days ago, but I mean, the Eagles, I will say, I don't necessarily think they should trade up, and you'll see why here shortly, to get one of the big three. But I think their roster is good enough that I don't necessarily think it's the biggest deal should they make a trade to try and get up there to acquire CeeDee Lamb, should they? The problem is with the big three receivers, you don't know who's going where. So you almost have to trade like above the Jets maybe. And even then you don't know who the Jaguars are going to take. They could go wide receiver in the first round. So it's really a hard game to play when it comes to, if you covet one guy and that's what you're trading up for, you almost have to say, we want one of the top three guys. We're trading up to make sure we get one of those three. I've said it a lot with the Dolphins. I there's been some talk, and I hope they trade into the top 10 to get a tackle as well, to go with their quarterback. But that also depends on, you know, how you feel about the top four offensive tackles. You can't really just covet one guy. If you like all four of them, then you're okay. But if you're looking for just that one player, CeeDee Lamb, he could go 15 to Denver and you could trade up to 14 or 13 or whatever. Or you could be trying to trade up into the top 10 to get him because the Jags might take him or the Jets or somebody. So who knows there. 16, I have the Atlanta Falcons going Javon Kinlaw. I think corner would be an ideal addition here if they could get CJ Henderson. There's been a lot of talk about the Falcons trading up maybe as high as four. To maybe get a cornerback. I think that's where they're looking, but who knows with Thomas Dimitroff. they traded up like 20 positions to get Julio Jones like a decade ago. I mean, they're willing to kind of do whatever it takes. So we'll see what the Falcons do here. They definitely need that addition of a cornerback. I don't like the value here. So I opted to give him Javon Kinlaw. It gives another destructive force inside to pair with Grady Jarrett and kind of help Tackerus McKinley and Dante Fowler on the outsides rush the passer and continue for McKinley to continue developing moving forward. 17 Dallas Cowboys. I have them taking Clavon Chase on the edge from LSU. Another team that I think has corner needs after Byron Jones left for Miami in free agency. But I think, again, there's a value discrepancy here. They do need some more edge help to pair with DeMarcus Lawrence after Robert Quinn departed for Chicago in the offseason. Then getting Chase on, who I have as a top 15 prospect, over a corner like Gladney, Jalen Johnson, Christian Fulton here, I think is a better value. And I think you can probably get a better corner in the second round than you would an edge rusher at their pick, I think, 51. So went that way for Dallas. 18 Miami Dolphins. I'm taking Josh Jones here. They may trade up. Who knows what the Dolphins are going to do come draft. I don't know. And I've been following this team for my whole life. I'm taking Josh Jones. There's a candidate they could go anywhere here. I feel like if they sit at 18, Josh Jones is the guy. He's a pretty good developmental tackle prospect, played at an elite level in the American Conference for Houston last season. We'll kind of see. He's my tier two solo. I think you have tier one being the big four. You have Josh Jones here at tier two. And then you have kind of a log jam of other guys here at tier three. But Josh Jones, I think, fits what Miami wants. It's a tad bit of a reach here at 18. I think he's more apt to go at 26 would be a better value for them. But there's teams that need tackles between 18 and 26 that I think if Miami really wants to get that tackle, they have to go with it here. So I'm giving them Josh Jones at 18. Intern Gibble, any thoughts on these three picks? Any facts, thoughts, anything?
Let's see. I think Josh Jones, he tried to change his last name to Allen so that he could take over the website of draftjoshallen.com, but then realized that he just shouldn't do that. It's a bad idea. And he needs to stick with the family name. So he opted to stay Josh Jones. And that's where he's at in life.
All right. Pick 19, I have the Vegas Raiders. This pick coming from the Chicago Bears for the Khalil Mack trade. I'm taking Jeff Gladney here. I have Gladney pretty much neck and neck here with CJ Henderson. I like Gladney a lot more than a lot of analysts have him. Cornerback from TCU here. I think he's pretty good. I think he's going to, I think he's going to be a pretty good corner at the next level. He does bring great athleticism and ball skills. And that's a big need for the Raiders, especially in the defensive back area. And they need, especially in a conference or a division rather, I keep screwing that up. A division that has the Chiefs wide receiving core that has, the Denver Broncos, who have Sutton and one of the big three wide receivers here in CeeDee Lamb. Going forward, that's something that they're going to need. The Chargers as well, guys like Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, they need to get defensive backs who can stick to opposing receivers, and I think Gladney fits that a lot here. Christian Fulton's another one that could go here because Mike Mayock and John Gruden loved going after big name corner or big name prospects from bigger schools last year. They did it quite frequently. So I think Fulton's a possibility here as well, but I like Gladney a little bit more than Fulton. So I gave him the Raiders here at 19. Jacksonville, I have them taking Xavier McKinney with the pick they got from the Los Angeles Rams, safety from Alabama. Added Henderson earlier in the draft. Now they get a safety in McKinney to pair back there, and now they can build from the back to the front, which a lot of teams are doing nowadays, namely teams like the Patriots, Dolphins, several other teams. Start at the back, move your way to the front. Xavier McKinney and CJ Henderson add a great duo in the back end to kickstart whatever the Jaguars end up trying to do, whether it's a rebuild or whatever. At 21 here, the Philadelphia Eagles, Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU. It's long been rumored the Eagles are going to draft the wide receiver. They added Darius Slay in this offseason as a corner. that pretty much ensures that the Eagles are going to go wide receiver to me in the first round. They also have a need at linebacker, but they haven't invested much draft stock into the linebacker position in the history of Harry Roseman being there. So don't think they'll go there, but you could see a Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray here as well. But I do think they're going to go wide receiver. I don't think they should look to trade up again, like I said earlier, but I do think they're in great position to get Justin Jefferson if that's what they want, unless the Raiders maybe double up on wide receivers, which again is a possibility. So we'll see what the Eagles do, but I do think they're going to go wide receiver wherever they end up at the draft. Anything on these three guys?
Well, we'll kind of address the Eagles here because they're obviously my team. Justin Jefferson is really not a bad pick. As much as I'd love for them to get one of the big three, I forget what the exact contract situation is like with DeSean Jackson, Alshon, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but they just need healthy wide receivers. That was kind of the biggest issue last year. I think Justin Jefferson kind of fits. I feel like Ruggs was just the speedster out of those three. So he'd be more of a deep ball threat like Jackson was. And I think they have Jackson for at least another year here. So they wouldn't really need that speed wide receiver. But honestly, any reliable wide receiver that they end up with, Justin Jefferson would be a very quality one. So would T. Higgins or Denzel Mims. Any of them would be high quality picks at the 21 spot here, assuming they don't trade up.
Yeah, Jefferson's a really, I mean, he had the most fruit out of that Oklahoma game. He was ridiculous in that game. And even at the wide receiver position, not only are they injured, but DeSean Jackson's 33. Alshon Jeffery's in his just turned 30. There's long been rumored issues of Alshon Jeffery and Carson Wentz. I don't really know what's going on there. A lot of people are still surprised that Jeffery's on the team. Arcega-Whiteside is a good go up and get it guy. I don't necessarily think he's ever going to be like a real quality starter, but I think as a three or four on the depth chart, I think he's pretty valuable there and in the red zone. But yeah, I think the Eagles really need to go get Carson Wentz some targets. And Justin Jefferson's a great one. You saw how much he helped Joe Burrow this past season as well. So I think that's a good pick for the Eagles. For sure. Number 22, I have the Minnesota Vikings going Christian Fulton here. I think they lost like their top three corners this offseason. Fulton, who I think is a top line corner. He played a little bit injured this past season, but when he was healthy, he was really stellar. And I think he could end up being the second best corner in this draft as long as he stays healthy. I think it's a good value here for the Vikings at 22. Help get them one of the corners. They have two picks here in the first round. We'll get to their next one soon. But I think they got to get a cornerback somewhere in here in this first round, because they definitely need a defensive back help, and they've had a history of going corner in the first round. So I think it all adds up a bit. 23, the New England Patriots. Here's where it gets fun, folks. Nobody knows what Bill Belichick's going to do here. There's talk that, you know, everyone wants to say that they're going to trade up. They don't have they have a lot of draft picks, but they don't have a ton of drafted assets. They don't have a second round pick because the GM, Bill Belichick, traded it from Mohamed Sanu for whatever reason. I don't know if they're in a position to trade up. I think they could see here at 23, and if they really want him, they can get him. I have him going Jordan Love. Because I just think Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Jarrett Stidham. I think you can tone down the interceptions. I think that's a little bit overhyped. I mean, for Deshaun Watson threw, I think, like 16 interceptions in his senior season. And look at him now. He's one of my favorite quarterback in the league, pretty much. I think defense is likely the pick here, but I think if a high developmental prospect like Love is available, it's hard to pass up. Like, unless you really love Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer, I don't know. I would take Jordan Love here if I were them. There's potential that, you know, the Colts trade up above them to get him. Don't take him. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do, but I'm going to give him a quarterback here as much as I don't want to. I'd love to see him ride with Jarrett Stidham for 4 years. Screw him. I'm ready for him to be done. So that's where I'm going to go with the Patriots. Then 24 here, the New Orleans Saints. I haven't taken Patrick Queen, the local linebacker prospect from LSU. They added a pretty good wide receiver too in Emmanuel Sanders, so I took that off the board. That was where I was mocking a wide receiver for a while. I do think they should look to add to the defense a little bit more, get a guy to pair with DeMario Davis there in the linebacking core. Local product adds a lot of athleticism to the linebacker position here. Good local product here, and keep that defense rolling. The less Drew Brees has to do here in his final season, the better. And I think that's a good way to go about it, because I think the offense around him is pretty good. Any takes on these there, Gibble?
Well, I heard a rumor once that Patrick Queen was going to start a Queen cover band and invited Lightning McQueen, Billy Queen, and Mel Queen to be in it with him. Billy and Mel were both baseball players who have since retired. So they were like, we need something to do.
I don't know. I was like, I don't know. I don't know who these other two guys are.
They were American baseball players, and they needed something to do post MLB careers. So they thought, you know, maybe we'll start a cover band. But then Patrick Queen was like, I got to go play in the NFL and make a couple dollars. So he's going to go be a New Orleans Saint.
Well, they didn't bother to ask Steve McQueen.
No, no. He had a Mick in his name. It had to just be Queen.
Didn't you say Lightning McQueen?
No. Well, there goes that logic.
God, you only get this hard-hitting analysis here on Walk On Red Shirts, folks. All right, 25. Minnesota Vikings, Denzel Mims, wide receiver from Baylor. They added their cornerback at 22. Come back around. And now they got to replace Stephon Diggs. Think they get that here with Denzel Mims. Pair him with Adam Thielen. Think another really good wide receiver combo. Mims had some drop issues, but I think it came out that he was playing with like a broken wrist this past season, so that would likely suggest why that was, and also why he wasn't nearly as physical either. So I think you had a pretty good wide receiver here, a guy who's risen up draft boards a lot. Mims at one point was like a fifth round pick earlier on. Big riser here. I liked him a lot at Baylor. I think this is a good pick for the Vikings. 26, I have the Miami Dolphins taking Cesar Ruiz, the center from Michigan. They got Tua and Josh Jones earlier. Add a versatile interior lineman. Cesar Ruiz, he could play either center or guard. They added Ted Karras in the offseason, the center from the Patriots. So one of those guys can play interior or in at center, and then one at guard. Best interior lineman in the class by far. And it's a bit of a drop off here. So I think the Dolphins want to keep adding, keep Tua upright, giving him an inside offensive lineman here at Ruiz. And the 27 here, I'm giving the Seattle Seahawks Isaiah Wilson, the right tackle from Georgia. There's a lot of talk that his high upside may bring him all the way to the first round. I think he's the third round talent. We'll see. Every year there's teams that do this. They did it last year. For some of the edge rusher from TCU, I'm forgetting the name, who was, you know, a late second round pick. They got him in the first round for whatever reason. He didn't look good. He was a healthy scratch several times this past season. LJ Collier, that's the name. But I am buying it a little bit that some team's going to take Isaiah Wilson, because I think the need for offensive tackles is going to create that havoc. They continue to neglect protecting Russ Wilson, and I just need to see them invest a little bit here and do the right thing. I think Yeter Gross-Matos from Penn State or AJ Epinesa from Iowa could be in play here as well, as they like edge rushers. Getting another one of those guys, assuming they're not bringing back Jadeveon Clowney. But for the love of God, I like Russ Wilson too much. Please protect him. 28, Baltimore Ravens, Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma. The Ravens don't have many needs. They could add to their linebacking core. CJ Mosley left last offseason. They could fill that need here. I think this is a good spot for him. They get a really good value. I think Kenneth Murray is probably like the 20th best player in the draft. Linebacker from Oklahoma, big playmaker. Would fit really well into the Baltimore defense, I think. 29, I have the Tennessee Titans taking Yeter Gross-Matos, the edge from Penn State. I like Gross-Matos a lot more than I think a lot of other people do. I think he's a top 25 player in this draft. And I do think the Titans, there's a lot of different directions they could go at 29. I'm going to give him the talented smart edge rusher and YGM here. I think he plays very much the style of play that Vrabel wants on his defense. He's a very smart player, smart individual. Go get your guy, beef up that defense a little bit more after they just gave away Jarrell Casey for whatever reason. Rumors that they were going to go get Clowney, that hasn't happened yet. I think you fill that here with Gross Matos, who has a better, a pretty high ceiling in my opinion, but has a little bit more development to go for him. Intern Gibble, any thoughts on these three?
No, I mean, Yeter Gross Matos is a great value here. He was one of the terrors against Ohio State this last year. One of the few threats, or one of the bigger threats, I should say, for Ohio State against Penn State this year, at least from the game that I saw. Outside of that, I didn't watch a lot of Penn State that closely, so I couldn't give you more of an in-depth analysis on that one. Yeah, Denzel Mims is another great value for the Vikings here. I think them picking him, just definitely a smart one to have alongside Stephon, or to replace Stephon Diggs, rather.
All right, and let's round out the first round here, and then we'll kind of speed through the second round. We won't get too much into that, so you guys can yell at us on Twitter for that. But pick 30, Green Bay Packers, T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson. I'm much higher on Higgins than a lot of people seem to be. I don't understand why he's fallen down boards. I've watched him for several years at Clemson now. He plays much different than what you see when you watch, you know, a pro day or a workout or anything like that. He's a guy that can just go up and get the ball. He's going to dominate in that fashion. You match him on the outside opposite Davante Adams, who's a great route runner and gives Aaron Rodgers a big target he can throw to, who can just go up and get it. You got to get A-Rod some weapons. T. Higgins falling to pick 30 here, I think, is the perfect spot for him. You could also go with a guy like Brandon Ayuk, who I love from Arizona State. I think that's another really good possibility here for the Packers as well. They could also go offensive tackle if they really wanted to with a developmental guy, an Ezra Cleveland and Austin Jackson. Think you can wait on that a little bit and put that in the rear view. Just get a wide receiver here. Help Aaron Rodgers, help Davante Adams a bit more. 31, San Francisco 49ers. Talk at 13 and 31 that they could be trading down. They want to get more draft assets. But without trades here, I have them taking Jalen Johnson, the corner from Utah. Another corner I'm very high on. Probably not going to be great right away, but they added a wide receiver earlier on. Now I want to give him a sticky cover corner to pair opposite the vet Richard Sherman. They had few glaring holes this past season, but at the cornerback position, outside of Richard Sherman, they had some issues. I think shoring that up with Jalen Johnson here, who again I like a lot more. Another player I like a lot more than some of the other guys. I have him as a top 50 player in this draft class. So I have him taking Jalen Johnson from Utah. 32, Kansas City Chiefs fans, you're going to hate me. I can't stop doing it. I am obsessed with this pick. I don't think it'll happen, but the Chiefs, they're in a position to trade down here. I think if Cesar Ruiz is here, I think that's the pick if they stay here. They're another team that doesn't have a lot of draft assets. A cornerback here felt like a bit of a reach because I don't have one within like the next 10 best players. I'm going to go ahead and just make the offense unstoppable and give him DeAndre Swift, the running back from Georgia. Damian Williams was really good in the postseason, but he was a pretty average back during the regular season. They kind of switched off and on between several running backs, Shady McCoy, Damian Williams, Darrell Williams, a couple other guys I believe were in there as well. But I'm going to give him DeAndre Swift, who is probably the best running back in the draft, maybe when it comes to pass catching out of the backfield. Getting him, putting him on that offense with Patrick Mahomes. He's not super fast, but he is pretty quick. And I think he fits what the Chiefs like to do on offense a bit more. Pair him, put him with Damian Williams, and I don't know how a team stops that offense. Again, sorry Chiefs fans, without trading down, which I would should I have done that, I just don't see a value anywhere else to take at 32 than to just upgrade the running back position and just make your offense elite. Intern Gibble, any thoughts on the finale here, the first round?
Well, I'm going to vote for the Chiefs to just trade all of their picks to the Eagles so that the Chiefs can be, I mean, they're still going to be great. We just need the Eagles to get better. That'd be really cool. So they're going to trade this pick to the Eagles and it's going to be great. They're not even going to ask for anything back. So it's going to be perfect. T. Higgins, I think what you saw with him, the reason that people kind of have fallen off on with him recently, I think his senior year wasn't as stellar as it could have been. I think the first half of the year he was pretty quiet. And then he really turned it on in the second half of the year when everybody was like, oh, Clemson sucks. They shouldn't be in the playoff. Well, he showed everybody that they did. Cause he wasn't getting the ball a ton, I don't think, in the first half. And when he was having a little bit of drop issues. But then I think he flipped a switch and was back to the old T. Higgins that we saw from years prior for him.
All right. Let's speed around here. Second round. Pick 33, Cincinnati Bengals, AJ Epenesa, the edge from Iowa. 34, Indianapolis Colts taking Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State. 35, Detroit Lions, Zach Bond, edge / linebacker, Wisconsin. 36, I have the Giants going Ezra Cleveland, offensive tackle from Boise State. 37, Los Angeles Chargers, Austin Jackson, the offensive tackle from USC. Two teams, again, I mentioned in the first round there that they could go offensive tackle, but I thought the value in getting those spots filled in the early second round was probably better. And you see that here. 38, Carolina Panthers, Noah Igbinoghene. One of these days I'm going to just pronounce it right the whole way through. The corner from Auburn. 39, Miami Dolphins. I'm taking Grant Delpit, the safety from LSU, a player who was a top 10 prospect going into the season. I know I'm pretty sure he won the Thorpe Award this year. Probably shouldn't have. Wasn't even the best defensive back on his own team. Fell a bit down the board. A lot of people think that like his play was a little bit more lazy this season. But if you watch the 2018 version of Grant Delpit, he was stellar. I think if you get that back, I think you're looking at great value here in early second round for a team that needs a safety. 40, Houston Texans, Marlon Davidson, the inside defensive lineman from Auburn. 41, Cleveland Browns, Antoine Winfield Jr., safety from Minnesota. 42, Jacksonville Jaguars, Ross Blacklock, defensive tackle, TCU. 43, Chicago Bears, A.J. Terrell, the cornerback from Clemson. 44, Indianapolis Colts, Lloyd Cushenberry, center from LSU, center/guard from LSU. 45, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, J.K. Dobbins, running back from Ohio State. Tom Brady, J.K. Dobbins, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronk.
I hate that offense.
What the hell? Yeah, I mean, go and get Dobbins. I think that's a good value there. Pair him with Ronald Jones. I know a lot of folks like to talk about how Ronald Jones was pretty good at the second half of the year. Still think running back's a bigger need than most of the other things on the roster. And you can get great value with J.K. Dobbins here, who I think is right up there with DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor here in this draft class. 46, Denver Broncos, Trevon Diggs, corner from Alabama. 47, Atlanta Falcons, Terrell Lewis, edge from Alabama. 48, New York Jets, Laviska Shenault, from the wide receiver from Colorado. A bit of a slip here for Shenault. Has some injury concerns for sure, but he is a pretty talented wide receiver, and the Jets to get him here at 48 feels like could be a bit of a steal. 49, Pittsburgh Steelers without a first round pick. I haven't taken Justin Matabuke, the inside defensive lineman from Texas A&M. 50, Chicago Bears, Jeremy Chinn, safety from Southern Illinois. 51, Dallas Cowboys go and get a safety. Again, there wasn't a corner here I really liked for the Cowboys, but we're going to go get him a defensive back. And Kyle Duggar, the safety from Lenoir Rhine. Both Chin and Duggar are poor man's Isaiah Simmons to a sense. They can kind of come up a bit and play linebacker when needed, but primarily safeties. Two interesting small school prospects there. 52, the Los Angeles Rams team, again, without a first round pick. I'm taking Jordan Brooks, the linebacker from Texas Tech. 53, your Philadelphia Eagles intern, Gibble. I'm taking Willie Gay Jr., the linebacker from Mississippi State. Freak athletically at the linebacker spot. I think he ran pretty close to what Isaiah Simmons did in the 40. But go get a linebacker to help on that defense. Player, I think, why am I forgetting your defensive coordinator's name?
Because I am too. I can picture his face, but I can't tell you his name.
Yeah, so can I. Former Lions coach. Yep. Anyway, I think he would like a guy like Willie Gay a lot. 54, Buffalo Bills. I'm taking Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin. They went and got Devin Singletary last year. I think getting another guy to pair with him is a big need for the Bills. Try and get as much help around Josh Allen as possible. They went and got Stephon Diggs, fixed that wide receiver spot a bit using their first round pick here. Jonathan Taylor, guy from Wisconsin, has played in cold weather. I think he fits perfectly into what the Bills are going to do. Baltimore Ravens, they got Hollywood Brown last offseason in the draft. Now I have him getting Michael Pittman Jr., the wide receiver from USC. Big body target for Lamar Jackson to throw to. Continue getting him more weapons to pass to. He's got two good tight ends. Get him some more wide receiver help as well, and a big body guy, a big red zone target in Michael Pittman. 56, I have the Dolphins taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back from LSU. 57, the Rams back on the clock. Josh Uche, the edge from Michigan. Need to fix up that defense a bit. They also need to get some offensive line help. Again, they could go that direction here as well. 58, Minnesota Vikings, Curtis Weaver, the edge rusher from Boise State. 59, the Seahawks taking Jonah Jackson, the guard from Ohio State. 60, Ravens, Robert Hunt, guard from Louisiana Lafayette. I think he fits perfectly into what the Ravens want to do in that smash mouth style of football. Very good pick for the Ravens there. 61, Tennessee Titans, Raekwon Davis, the defensive tackle from Alabama. Beef up that line again. Get a guy to pair with Jeffrey Simmons, who was a great pick for them in the first round last year. 62, the Green Bay Packers, Neville Gallimore, the defensive tackle from Oklahoma. 63, here's the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's a good value, a corner for him. I have him taking Damon Arnett, the corner from Ohio State. Falls to them at 63. And lastly, pick 64, the Seattle Seahawks. I have him taking Julian Aquara, the edge rusher from Notre Dame. Now they get an edge rusher to kind of replace Clowney a bit. Get some pass rush help off the outside. Get him, Isaiah Wilson, first round, beef up those lines. All right. Any thoughts on that second round that I sped through there?
Well, I did the math, and for anybody who wanted to know how many times I would say who in this episode, it would have been 18 in that round. I knew 14 of those guys. So there's a fun fact there. So if the over-under was set at 3, we killed the over. So there's a fun fact. Yeah.
So you knew 14 of the second round players? And 3 of those players are Ohio State players. So you know 11 yep. other players. Okay, great. Fantastic. All right. Let's move on. We have 2 more segments here left. I'm going to run through real fast my favorite day 3 prospect in each kind of position category here. Just say a little bit about them and then move on. Guys that you may look at your team in the, you know, early, could go in the third round. Some of these guys could be going in the third round. Who knows? But probably like 4th, 5th, 6th round guys. Keep an eye on for your team. That if your team gets them, be pretty happy about it. I think they'll be good value. At the quarterback spot, my day 3 prospect, a lot of people love Anthony Gordon. I like him. But when I'm looking at a day 3 quarterback prospect, I'm looking at a guy who can be a pretty good backup for my team going forward. For me, that's Jake Luton, the quarterback from Oregon State. Tall guy, 6'7", I think 230. I think he's a pretty good developmental quarterback. He's a tall passer with the ability to move the ball downfield. Low interception rate in college, 28 touchdowns, 3 interceptions last season. Tied for first in the country in interceptions. Lowest interceptions, not most interceptions. To me, that also suggests that there's a possibility there for a long career as an NFL backup. In this position, you're not necessarily saying, I'm going to get this guy and he's going to be a starter for me long term. If they do, great. Not everybody turns into Tom Brady. It just doesn't work that way. But I like Luton a lot. And if I'm looking for a guy to take in the sixth or seventh round, that's my guy. I'm going to get him. And I think you could put him as your quarterback three for a year or two. And then if, when you feel comfortable, move him into the second slot, have that be your backup for your main guy. And I think you'd feel pretty comfortable. I would feel pretty comfortable about that. Running back, I have Darrington Evans, the running back from Appalachian State. Great vision, sudden burst in the open field. He can kind of start and stop on a dime pretty much. I have some doubts that he'd be a three down back and be an every down starter or a starter on most teams. But I do think he could be a really solid platoon back. I think there's a lot of value for him. To clarify, all these, when I made these selections, these are all guys that on the draft network, their consensus big board are outside the top 100. And so I'm kind of looking there. There's some of these guys could sneak into the third round, but I think consensus says a lot of these guys are probably going to go fourth or so. But Darrington Evans, the running back from Appalachian State, I like him a lot. If your team needs a running back, but it's not a high priority, he's a guy you could look to in the fourth round when day three starts and say, that's my guy. I'm going to go pair him with another running back. Be pretty happy about it. Wide receiver, here you go. Intern Gibble, I bet you didn't know the first two names. Am I correct?
I knew Luton, if that's how you pronounce it. I knew who he was.
Shocking. Okay. Wide receiver, my guy, KJ Hill, wide receiver, Ohio State. He lacks a speed that's going to propel him into the top tiers of the wide receiver class. That's why you're not hearing a ton about him. But he's a very solid route runner. He's been working with Brian Hartline at Ohio State. He saw how that worked out for guys like Terry McLaurin last year. Paris Campbell shot up the boards as well, although he didn't have a successful rookie season, pretty much injured for most of that time. But KJ Hill is a solid route runner. I think you could plug him into the slot and he's going to be able to feast on inexperienced corners and linebackers at the next level pretty early on. I think fourth round, because of how deep the wide receiver class is probably where KJ Hill is going to go. Maybe he could sneak into the third. I like him a lot. If your team needs a slot receiver, I think KJ Hill is a great pick. I very much advocate for him there.
Yeah, he also has really surefire hands. That's the other, he's a very, very consistent catcher. So that's another part of his value.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of those guys that in a class this deep, because he doesn't flash in anything that you can watch and go, wow, that's why he's going to fall down boards. Mm-hmm. But again, in a normal wide receiver draft, I think KJ Hill could probably go into the second round, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, he's not going to go up and get the big catch. He's not going to do anything super special. So he falls down a bit, but yeah, I think he's a great fourth round value for teams. Tight end, not even going to try to pronounce his last name. Big Albert O, the tight end from Missouri. Injuries have kind of derailed his stock a bit, but I do think he has probably one of the higher ceilings of any of the tight ends in this class. It is a pretty weak tight end class. But if he is healthy, I think he adds probably a very valuable pass catching target to any offense. He's a guy that a team like the Packers that could use some tight end help might target a little bit later on that could really help Aaron Rodgers. But I like him a lot. I think he'll probably go fourth round if I had to guess, because tight ends are going to get pushed down the board pretty heavily early on. But I like Alberto quite a bit in terms of a later round target. At the offensive tackle position, I've got Trey Adams here, Washington offensive tackle. He was projected as a first rounder like a year and a half, 2 years ago when he would come out. But he has been constantly injured. He's had banged up knees, quite a bit of everything else. And it's pushed him into late round undrafted free agent territory. He's a huge guy at 6'8". 300. But I do think he's very much worth a draft and stash. And there's there's high potential here. If you can get him healthy, if you can draft him and, have him as a backup, have him as a third tackle, whatever you want to do, try and let him rest up and practice a bit. He could end up being the one of the bigger steals of this draft if he can stay healthy, because the talent is there. Just a matter of risking a pick, and that's why I think he's going to fall down boards, but I think he's there. So we'll see with Trey Adams. Inside offensive lineman, another guy that I'm very big on, much higher than a lot of guys. I have him as a top 70 player, but he was outside of the top 100 here. Inside lineman, I'm taking guard Damian Lewis from LSU. He's not super mobile on the line. If you're running fast-paced offenses and stuff like that, he's probably not going to mesh as well, especially in more like zone schemes and stuff like that. But he is a complete mauler on the inside. If you are a team like the Titans and you just want to smash the football into people, Damian Lewis is your type of player. I like him a lot. I fell in love with him watching some LSU games and stuff like that. He pairs up really well, paired up really well alongside Lloyd Cushenberry on the interior of that line. So Damian Lewis, I like him a lot. I do think he'll probably end up going in day two, somewhere in the three, just because of where the interior line class is. And if a team needs, they might reach a bit for him. But that's kind of my guy on the interior. Inside defensive line, defensive tackle. I've got James Lynch, the D tackle from Baylor. He was super productive in college. I don't think he'll probably never be a Pro Bowl D tackle or put up those numbers in the NFL. But I do think if he's in the right system, I think it feels pretty likely that you end up as a Carolina Panther with Matt Rhule again and Phil Snow, who they loved him. They rave about him. But if in the right system, I do think he's going to be a quality defensive tackle at the next level. Imagine getting him and pairing him alongside Derek Brown some point in this draft. Would be pretty good for Carolina. Edge rusher, my guy for in terms of a day three guy, Bradley Anae, the edge rusher from Utah. Another guy that was super productive in college. He played in the Pac-12 with Utah. He does carry a very high motor off the edge. I think it's going to make a lot of defensive minded coaches kind of fall in love with him. I think he's a guy that's probably not going to get to 10 sacks in his career per season, but I think you're looking at a guy that can get 5 to 8. And at worst, he's going to be at least a situational edge rusher that you can pull in on third down, third and longs and stuff like that, try and get after the quarterback. Linebacker, Evan Weaver from Cal. You're not getting a super athlete in Weaver. He's a lot more tailored for the prototypical middle linebacker during the Ray Lewis, Zach Thomas, Brian Urlacher days, which are a bit behind us now in the more spread universal mind of football. But Evan Weaver was an uber productive tackler in college. And when you're talking linebackers, if the guy's tackling a lot, that's always a big key for me. I do think he's going to probably go in the fourth round, but I do think he's going to be a very valuable piece to most defenses and can be a pretty quality starter at the next level. Corner, I'm going to be a bit of a homer here. Going to touch on that end a bit here. I'm going Trajan Bandy from Miami. He is a bit undersized at 5'9", but he does bring a good mix of toughness and athleticism to the corner position. Probably going to be I think he's going to be a pretty good corner nickel or nickel corner here in the next level with the NFL. But I liked Bandy a lot at Miami. Obviously, I've watched a lot of his games. I'm not super high on a lot of the Miami talent coming out this year in terms of transitioning to the NFL level. But I think Bandy's toughness makes up for a lot of that undersizedness. And I think he's going to be a decent corner at the next level that you can get in round 4, round 5. And lastly, the safety position, Julian Blackman from Utah. I think he projects as a solid backup, occasional fill-in early on, but he does have the versatility. He formerly was a cornerback with Utah, I think, to move over there if he needed to, so he's a defensive back. You could kind of play a little bit in different spots. I think there's enough here for a team. If you need depth at the safety position, you're looking round 4, round 5 for a safety. I think there's enough here for Julian Blackman to go in that area, maybe even round 6. Even if you're looking for down the road, you know, you have an aging veteran that you know you need to replace in a couple years. I think getting a guy like Julian Blackman, bringing him in and having him, you know, back up for a year or two, learn a bit, you could end up getting a future starter in Julian Blackman later on in the draft in that area. It's forgettable. Anything you want to mention on any of these guys? How many who's did you have?
All but 2. So I obviously knew KJ Hill and Luton, and that was it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the rest of them. Okay.
No, no, the rest were all.
I was about to say, I don't know.
So yeah, there was a lot.
Amazing. amazing.
No, another person I wanted to mention as like a late round value. Ben Victor from Ohio State. Obviously, it's another homer pick, but
shocking.
If you watch him, he's one of those guys that can go up and get it in the corner of the end zone. Tall, needs to bulk up a little bit, can make some absurd catches, but his biggest flaw was that he dropped some of the easier catches. But I feel like he could be a really solid late round value for a team. Another person that I forgot kind of existed was Kelly Bryant, just because he transferred to Mizzou and their season was not great. I feel like he could be a good future quarterback, like a good backup. I know he also played at Clemson behind the one at Texas, at the Texans, Deshaun Watson played behind him. Goodness, bad with names. But I think he fits that kind of mold. He had that similar playing style, which kind of succeeded Watson pretty well. So I feel like he'd be another good late pick to kind of stash. The two people I would absolutely stay away from in the quarterback area, Shea Patterson, Brian Lewerke.
That's fair. Yeah, I wouldn't, to be honest with you, I wouldn't draft any of those Big Ten guys. I wouldn't take him, wouldn't take him, wouldn't take Nate Stanley. Nope. I don't trust Big Ten quarterback for the most part. But yeah, I agree with those to an extent. Another quarterback, I don't think he's going to end up getting drafted, but I think he's going to be one of the primary UDFAs that teams make calls to right away, is Tyler Huntley from Utah. He's a guy that is not going to fit most systems, but he's a guy you could see a team, maybe like the Chargers, take a flyer on. He's an interesting prospect. Again, I don't know that he's going to get drafted. I think a lot of people are saying that he's probably going to go undrafted, but he's probably going to get a decent amount of phone calls right away. We'll see where he ends up, but he's a decent late round, see what you got kind of pick. You throw him on the practice squad for a year, whatever. Guy. So, all right, let's round this out with listener questions here. I got four of them to run through. At @CP_Primus, are there any players who are not rated as first round talent that may end up getting selected in the first round? It's a great question. It happens every year. Sometimes guys go much higher in the first round than you anticipate them going, and they were second or third round picks, and they go way earlier. The primary players I could see rising to the back end of the round one that aren't first round talents are the third tier of offensive tackles. We're talking Ezra Cleveland, Isaiah Wilson, who I ended up having go to Seattle in my mock, Austin Jackson as well. I think those guys, they're not round one talents. With Wilson and Jackson, I don't like Cleveland that much. I'll be honest with you. I think I have him probably in the 90s or 100s, early 100s in terms of my big board. I don't necessarily see the hype too much there. Watching some of his stuff, but Isaiah Wilson and Austin Jackson, I do think are decent developmental guys. I wouldn't take them in the first round. I could see teams doing that because there is needs. Like I said, the Packers, the Seahawks, those teams that could use, the Vikings can use another offensive tackle as well. And I could see them bump up. The other one is the third tier corners, who I don't think are first round talents, but they're second round talents. And teams 20 to 32, there's a lot of teams that have needs for cornerbacks. We're talking guys like AJ Terrell, Noah Igbinogene, and Trevon Diggs are three guys I don't think are first round talents. I think Terrell could get there. Diggs is interesting because he's Stephon Diggs' younger brother. And he was a wide receiver at one point, transitioned to corner. I think those are guys that could be quality corners at the next level. I don't see them as first round talents, but they could also rise up there. Team like Kansas City, team like San Francisco, teams that need corners late in that first round that could end up taking those guys. Outside of that, I don't necessarily see anybody I wouldn't say is a first round talent getting in there. Maybe one of the wide receivers could sneak in there as well that I don't necessarily see as a first round talent. But outside of that, I think just the run on those positions of heavy need, but not heavy talent at that spot could reach for those guys. At Attic Sports, who trades up to get a quarterback? Who do they trade with and for which quarterback? Said this when picking, I don't think the Chargers or Dolphins are trading up. I think they're going to stand pat and get their guys. That could certainly change. As we go forward, the Colts may trade back in the round one to get whoever the fourth quarterback is, whether that's Herbert or Love. And I know it's like, okay, well, if they trade after the Patriots, you know, why are you trading up to get them? One advantage you could get, if it doesn't take you a lot to trade into the first round for a team like the Colts, who are sitting at 34, trading even two spots with the Chiefs, you get an extra year. You get that fifth year option with the quarterback, which is huge. One extra year, you don't have to pay him that max contract if he works out, whatever you want to do. So that's the value of trading into the first round if you like that quarterback as opposed to waiting. I don't necessarily know if a team's going to. If the Colts would be the only one I'd say I could see, but I don't think the Dolphins or Chargers are moving for a quarterback. I think they're standing at 5 and 6. And I don't necessarily think anybody's going to make a big splash for a quarterback. I don't think the quarterbacks are going to shock us all that much, to be honest with you. From where we really think they're going to go, there could be some changes here and there, but I don't necessarily see it. I think a lot of the free agency has taken that away. The Buccaneers, the Panthers, you know, those teams going and getting their quarterbacks kind of takes away a lot of that. Who's going to go get a quarterback? Who's not? Even the Raiders with Mariota. Say what you want about Mariota, but going to get him and Derek Carr, if you haven't traded one of those two yet, it's hard to think that you're going to go get a quarterback for as a third string moving forward. So I don't know. I just don't think there's a huge need for quarterbacks in the first round this year, or a huge desire to trade up for a guy that's not a slam dunk like Love or Herbert. I don't necessarily see it happening. At Fanatic Bulldog, which team needs a quarterback but may pursue a one-year free agent in order to pursue Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields next year? I mentioned this earlier. I think the Jaguars are the heavy favorite, but as a Dolphins fan, I can tell you right now, plenty can happen within a year. Thought Dolphins were going to be picking first overall this year after what they did to tank. They didn't. Who knows? They do seem set to allow Minshew to run the show for at least a season, see where they're at with him. Again, if it doesn't work out, you're probably picking in the top five and you can get one of those quarterbacks. If he does work out, you got your guy. I like Minshew as a person. I'm not in love with him as a franchise quarterback, to be honest with you. I do think he produced okay last year for the Jaguars in his rookie year, but we'll see what they end up doing. But I do think Minshew running the show, it at least allows you to produce a similar result that the Dolphins had this past season with Fitzpatrick, where you're going to at least have a quarterback, whether he's the future or not. At least if you're going to lose, at least your quarterback's going to be exciting about it. So at least you have that, looking forward to it. And especially if they end up trading Yannick Ngakoue and Leonard Fournette, the talent around him is going to be pretty bare. So I feel like the Jaguars are in the driver's seat, but to be honest with you, who gets Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields next year feels like an absolute crapshoot right now, because I don't know who's going to need a quarterback in a year. There's no slam dunks there. And even like a team like the Patriots, I don't think Jared Stidham's the answer, but Bill Belichick, I don't think, is going to go 4-12 this season. So hard for me to sit here and say that the Patriots are going to be in the top spot. So, who really knows when it comes to next season and knows, guys, but I would, right now, Jaguars have to be leading it. I'd say the Panthers are there too, and they could. We'll see what Bridgewater does, but giving him a 3-year, $60 million contract suggests that they like Bridgewater a decent amount. So we'll see. And lastly, good friend Zach Myers of the program. Will Seattle trade back? Who might their trade partner be, and who do they target with their new top pick? So John Schneider, their GM, has every season since becoming a GM traded down from his initial first round pick. My only concern here, the virtual draft, a lot of talk is that teams are trying to get deals done before that ticks off and starts with the Bengals on draft night, just because you get on the clock, there's so much going on, especially with the concerns that maybe something goes wrong, that you want to have those deals in place. So that could end up changing it and they might actually stay where they are. And unless a deal starts to get worked middle of the draft before the Seahawks are even on the pick, maybe then, but we'll see. Likely a team early in the second round. This could be a spot for the Colts to move into if they're trying to get Jordan Love or somebody on that extra year of a contract, or a team early in the second round that might go for an offensive tackle. If the Giants go Isaiah Simmons and they need an offensive tackle like Isaiah Wilson or Austin Jackson, they could bump into this spot. The Chargers as well, if they take a quarterback early on and they want their offensive tackle. Who knows? If there was talk earlier on in the offseason, the Chargers like Jordan Love a lot. Could they go offensive tackle at six, then trade back in to go to quarter? I think there is going to be teams that want to get in there. Lions are another team. AJ Epenesa or Zach Bond could be a key here. They tried to get Kyle Van Noy. That's kind of who Zach Bond gets comped to be that guy in the Matt Patricia defense. AJ Epenesa, a very New England Patriots style line player, they can move up to go get him as well over a team like the Bengals or somebody else that could use that edge rushing prowess. So that's another spot. There are teams I think that are going to be willing to trade up into that spot. Whether the Seahawks do or not, we'll see. Again, I said earlier, I'd like to see them target an offensive line help, see Russell Wilson play a long time. But again, YGM could also be the pick at 27 if they decide to stay put. So we'll see with the Seahawks. That's another team. Again, I'm releasing this now. We've been lucky. I've been fortunate that there hasn't been a trade to screw this up yet. So I'm sure after we're done recording this overnight, it'll get sent out in the morning. And I'm sure by the time you guys listen to it, you know, three teams will have made trades into the top 10 or bottom half. So who knows? Anyway. That's our show for this, our special draft spectacular. Thank you, Intern Gibble, for joining us. You folks barely voted him in to join and give some fun facts. It really gives the show the 53% of you listeners that like Intern Gibble. So
appreciate you.
Anyway, we'll be back. We'll be back in a week and a half with our regular scheduled episodes. And with college football and all that stuff. Enjoy the draft, everybody. We'll see you guys in a week and a half.